I am self-discipline. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capital, California, with a thought for today. I am self-discipline. The people who accomplish things in this world are people who have self-discipline. People who are the managers of other people, who are the CEOs, who earn millions of dollars every year. Here's another one. Our sports people, our football players, baseball players, basketball players, our hockey people, they're being paid $1 million a year, sometimes $2 and $3 million a year, plus a certain percentage of the house. Whatever is the take on any of the games that are home games, they are given a certain percentage of that amount of money. And that could be in the millions too. Because why do these people who are just playing games, being sports people, you know, having a good time, why are they given such great salaries? Why are they given so much money? Because of one thing, they're self-disciplined. They're self-disciplined. When they go in to play their game, they go in to play their game with three things on mind. Three things in mind, on mind. The three things are, number one, they're going in there to be themselves and have fun. Number two, they're going to use their skill to the utmost to be a winner, to play the game so that they make the most points and are thought to be the winner, and that their team wins along with that. And number three, they're going in there so that they can put on a drama for the audience, so that the spectators will watch, shouting and screaming and hollering and saying, what a player, what a player, what a player, what a game, wow, this was one of the best games they ever played, you know, and each game succeedingly is the best game they ever played. But the thing is, those three things are what the outstanding player has in mind. Now, the CEO of a major corporation who is paid $1 million or $7 million a year, he has three things in mind too. First, to be himself and have fun. He's enjoying himself totally. And then to go in there and with his skill, build the company to a beautiful crescendo where it reaches a new height and the income is great and the stockholders are pleased and the other executives on the board of directors are pleased and his co-workers are pleased and everybody's pleased. I mean, that's a genius force at work, I tell you. And the third thing, he goes in there to make his company sound like it is the greatest company in the world. And everybody wants to be associated with it. Everybody wants to buy stock in that company because it's a great company. IBM used to be like that. They're still very, very big and they're very good. And they're not to be something that sneezed at. But IBM had a sign was THIMK, T-H-I-M-K. And they told their people to think before they did things. And IBM believed that dignity was very important to their business. They were not just a bunch of salesmen going out. They were representing the company. And so they were supposed to all wear suits and ties. Can you imagine that? Suits and ties. And these guys went out and wore suits and ties. And they did a great job. Now, other people frowned on them. Other salesmen weren't quite dressed to the nines like they were. But yet, most of them did, and most of them followed suit. While IBM and their crew were wearing shirts and ties and suit coats, the rest of the salesmen in the companies of the world followed suit. And then they began doing it in the department stores, and they began doing it in a lot of other places if they hadn't done it before, to look with dignity upon whatever they did. And there was a time There was a time when IBM was at its premium, at its apex, that all of the other businesses in the world were more or less aping IBM and were indicating how wonderful IBM was and how wonderful it had been expressing itself, what a noble company it was. And that, of course, was all due to Mr. Watson. And he was the chief, and I don't think he was a founder, but he may have been. But the company was founded on dignity. Not only sales, but on dignity. International Business Machines. And they did a great job. And they are doing a great job today. But today they have sort of fallen into the normal routine of other people, how they dress. But I would imagine salesmen who still go out in the field put on a shirt and tie and suit, and they dress according to what they feel they should do. Now, that's self-discipline, a great deal of self-discipline. A lot of people, when given the opportunity to wear anything they want to the office, they come to the office with clown suits on, and they make a mockery of the dignity of the position that they hold. And, of course, they're not appreciated. Oh, people laugh and say, hey, you've got a lot of courage. Hey, man, you look crazy like that. Yeah, that's great, you know. And under their breath, everybody's thinking, you have no taste at all. You have no dignity at all. You have no respect for the company you're working for and the position you have. Man, oh man, you know. You'd never expect the boss to come in a clown suit, because he doesn't think that his work and his job and his position and his company are founded on being a clown. And he does this with respect, self-respect. When we have self-respect for ourselves, yesterday Sylvia went into town and she had on her skirt, I guess, and then she had on her long white shirt, and then she put her jacket over that, and her jacket didn't quite come down to cover the white shirt, so it looked like her slip was showing. And I said to her, Sylvia, your slip is showing. And she said, so what, you know? And Sylvia did not realize that I meant for her not to have her slip showing, to go in and get a white shirt that was shorter, that wouldn't hang out below her coat. And I wasn't just offering her a suggestion, your slip is showing. I was offering her a command, saying, let's show some self-discipline here in how we dress. And this is something we're going to do a little more around here, is show a little self-discipline in how we dress when we go to town. Because we're representing the campus, we're representing the organization, we're representing all these things of who we are here. And that's why we should be very careful about that and listen very carefully to what is going to be for our highest and for our best. It's very important. And as we do this, we'll find that all the doorways will open up for us as we self-discipline ourselves and respect who we are. We say to ourselves, I'm whole and perfect. And then we go around with a frown on our face and with feelings of uptightness, with feelings of hurt. And we go around doing that, and I say, hey, you want to live, you want to die. You want to die, you just keep that up, you know. You want to live, let's put a smile on your face. But I hurt. Put a smile on your face. Start saying, I'm whole and perfect. But start saying, I'm whole and perfect. But start saying, I'm whole and perfect. Or get the heck out of here. I don't want anything to do with you if you're not going to play my game. My game works. And if you will self-discipline yourself to put into practice the things that we're teaching you here, you'll find that it works. Now, do you want to do it or don't you want to do it? Are you just talking or are you talking with self-discipline? You're going to do it and you're going to apply it. Now, you have any kind of hurt that comes to you and you say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, and stand up straight and tall and act like you're whole and perfect. And you watch. Whatever that may have been, it is poof. But if you don't stand up for it, then you empower it. Like someone was telling us the other day, they had appendicitis and they had their appendix out. And they said, well, they were bothered by that many times during their life. that it had bothered them many times. Well, what the hell? If it bothered them many times, they must have said, I'm home perfect, I'm home perfect, and then it didn't bother them anymore. Why didn't they say that now? Why didn't they say that now when it came up? They felt sorry for themselves, and so they didn't say, I'm home perfect, I'm home perfect. Oh, I feel so bad. Oh, I got this. Oh, I got that. Hey, you're welcome to have it. But why didn't you have it out a long time ago? Then you couldn't have that for an excuse anymore, you know? But if you're going to be whole and perfect over whatever you want to be whole and perfect over. It's a game we're playing. And if we're not going to play the game, how can we be good sharers and teachers of others on playing the game? We have to be very self-disciplined. And if you're self-disciplined, if you're really self-disciplined, you will accomplish all the gifts that you want. Now, I'm not saying, this is something that's very important for me to say right now. It doesn't matter, a tinker's darn, whether you are whole and perfect or not. It doesn't matter whether you live or die. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're happy or unhappy. It doesn't matter whether you are with friends or without friends. It doesn't matter whether your world is roses or whether your world is thorns. It doesn't matter. You can have either way. Now, which is your choice? And is your choice being sorry for yourself? Well, then you got the thorns. Is your world saying you're in limitation and lack? Then you got the thorns. Whatever it is that you proclaim for yourself, that's what you got. Now, you say, well, but I don't have it. Start saying you do and watch it happen. Keep saying it, keep saying. Build in your consciousness the cooperation with the principle and the law of saying you have it. Now, I have asked all of you 100 million times, or maybe 300 million times, to write a blessing book. And you did well for a little while, and then you dropped away from it. Now, how many blessing books have you written in the last 10 years that I've been asking you to write blessings? I wonder. You don't show me your books, and you don't have to. It's your blessings. But how many books do you write? Do you write thicky books like this here, filled with it every day, all the blessings that happen in your life? Well, if you would do that, you would have miracles in your life. You would have absolute miracles because you don't remember all of the wonderful things that happened to you. And it's not that you have to read back through the book, but writing it down impresses it upon your consciousness that it did happen. It did happen. And listen to this. And I know you're going to laugh at me. You're going to think silly of me. You're going to say, oh, come on, Herb. If you didn't have any miracles, create them. Make them up. Make up miracles in areas you think that you'd like to have it. Say, for instance, your girlfriend is not speaking to you right now, and she's upset with you because you didn't send her a birthday card or something. And so you say, my girlfriend just doesn't like me. She just doesn't like me. I didn't send her a birthday card, and I should have, you know. And so, right now, you send her a birthday card, a late one, and send her a birthday card every day, and say, I've been thinking about you, and I've been thinking about how wonderful you are. I've been thinking about what a great friendship we have. I've been thinking about what it means to me to be a friend with you in my life. Boom, 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 you know, and pretty soon, that's a lie, you know. You weren't thinking about all those things, but you were thinking, you should be thinking about it. And so you write it down, and you send her the cards. And she gets these cards, and she says, have you lost your marbles? I mean, what are you sending me all these cards for? Why are you writing all this stuff to me? You know, here you forget my birthday, but now you're sending me all these cards. Because I love you, you know. But, yeah, yes, I always loved you. But the thing is, I feel like doing it right now, so I'm doing it. Now, do you mind? No, not really, you know. But you see, be yourself and have fun. Just have a ball. And as you have a ball, the miracles take place in your life. Create them. Create them. Create them as wonderful as they can be. And when you create them as wonderful as they can be, watch what happens to you. Watch what happens to you, how everybody in the world just sort of looks at you different, and they don't know why, but you're different. Your attitude is different. Your thought is different. Your life is different. Your world is different. Your body is different. And it's not because it is the one way or another, but people see it exactly the way you see it. So now you start creating yourself with this marvelous body, this athletic body that rides bikes and jumps out of helicopters and does all sorts of wonderful things, you know, and live and enjoy life. But learn self-discipline. And when you learn self-discipline, everything else is in order. Everything else is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.